Hey, all, welcome to the Common Good Podcast. It's the 16th of April, day after tax day. Hey, you know what didn't happen, Rob, yesterday?
What didn't happen yesterday, Doug?
The federal government didn't spend any taxpayer dollars.
That's right. Listen, I used to be a conservative who didn't like taxes because, you know, considered them to be theft and government overreach and funding of programs I didn't agree with and whatnot. And now that I'm a and now that I'm a progressive who understands modern monetary theory, realizes that our tax realizes that our tax dollars don't fund anything at all.
Federal tax dollars, at least, yeah.
Federal tax dollars makes me hate taxes even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, like why? Like why are you taking my money? You're just gonna burn it. Like what is happening here?
I hate just it. Getting rid of it. You're just you're just like your garbage collector, just going around and picking up the extra garbage and throwing it up. Hey, if you don't know what we're talking about, you can watch back through our streams and or go to our playlist on this if you're on our YouTube channel and watch all our stuff about how it works. The federal government produces money through the Treasury. Mm-hmm. How much they produce dictated by the budget passed by Congress. They don't take your tax dollars and spend them at the federal level. They take your tax dollars out of the economy because they're putting in a bunch of new monies into the economy, but it comes from the Treasury, not from taxpayers. You may have a lot of reasons you don't want to pay tax, and it'll only get worse when you start to understand how it actually works.
Listen, I understand the need to control inflation and the use of tax dollars to do that, but I just figure why mine?
And look, taxes do a whole lot of other things. They make we won't go down that road. But anyway, it was tax day yesterday. And if you felt like you were working for the federal government up until 87 days or 187 days, no. Yeah, not really. Not really. Hey, you know what else did happen yesterday?
What's that?
We had a beautiful day in Minnesota yesterday, by the way. Today it's raining, cloudy, and feels like spring. April showers are going to bring some May flowers. How is it there in Arkansas?
Do you know what May flowers bring, Doug?
Sneezes?
Pilgrims.
Yes. Wow. Wow. I mean, so many other things you could have said, but that was disease. you know, infiltrators, pilgrims, wonderful. How's it looking out the window there, squirreled away somewhere outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas?
Super windy. It feels like it has been windy for 10 days or 2 weeks now. Like I had like 30 mile an hour winds today. It's just I'm tired of the wind. You want to hear something weird that happened this morning? So this morning I woke up to like a humming sound, a buzzing of some kind, a humming, and I'm like, "What in the world is that?" And and Whimsy's like, "It's the fan in your room." So I turn the fan off, and the humming didn't stop. So I start walking around, and I get closer, it gets louder, and I go into my bathroom, and I use a Quip toothbrush, because I fall prey to advertising on podcasts, and occasionally on Instagram. My Quip toothbrush, which is hanging in the little Quip case, like stuck to the mirror in my bathroom, is on and buzzing. And normally it turns off, like when I brush my teeth, you turn it on and it buzzes for 2 minutes and then, you're done and
it stops, but it stops after 2 minutes. Okay.
It's on and it's going and I have no idea how it got turned on.
Was it floating in the air, moving up and down like it was inside of a ghost's mouth? Was it?
No.
Was it levitating?
Vanessa was like, "Did we have an earthquake or something?" I'm like, "I don't think an earthquake would cause that, but no." So very, very weird things. I think our house is haunted.
Is it battery powered or is it?
It is battery powered. But it was in the case. It was so strange.
Wow.
So strange. Very weird. Very weird morning. Yeah.
We have this weird thing. I should have brought the box down. I know we're going to talk
about this. I've got a great transition of like, weird things in my house. There's also weird things going on in the House of Representatives.
Well, Shelly has this little wooden box. I don't know. It looks, I don't know.
Yeah.
it's ornate. It feels like it's maybe from India or something.
Yep. Yep.
And in front of the box on the table, or we've moved around different places. Mm-hmm. Every morning there will be a little teeny line of dust lined up exactly in a row.
Hmm.
And then we'll move it that night, move it back 3 inches. And the next morning there'll be another line. There'll be an, like, okay, there's something in there pushing this, there's little holes kind of in it. It's designed that way. The craziest thing. So we put it in the freezer for a week. Just took it out. So either whatever it is, we froze and it's stuck, or we killed it.
Can you open the box?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can open it, but you can't see, like, there's no holes from the inside. There's just like decorative holes sort of on the outside. It is just wild. I'm going to make, if it happens again, I should really should have just set a time lapse, something to just record it. And so we could have just seen like, what is going on? It's just that kind of creepy stuff, man. It starts, I'm getting to the age where it's just freaking me out. Gotta know.
Yeah. Now you have to worry that, like, whatever you froze in that box is going to eventually stink.
Yeah. I'm thinking this thing is, I don't know, like termites or something. I don't know. Mm. I'm just making stuff up. I have no idea. Mm. No idea. Mm. But something's like pushing some little living creature in there.
Yeah. We have like carpenter bees that like to drill into our, drill holes into our pergola on our back porch. Mm-hmm. And you'll get like, you'll be sitting there and all of a sudden there'll be sawdust falling on you because there's a bee burrowing a hole into the pergola. I don't know.
Maybe little baby bees.
Yeah.
And then our garbage disposal stopped working. We had a little leak in it. And then Shelly went to turn it on, didn't turn on. She's like, I bet it's just off. And I got under there and like, it just, we're in this house where like we've updated, we've been here for 30 years or something. And so like things we haven't updated in 25 years just are all breaking.
Yep. Yep. They all go at once.
Everything is breaking.
Oh, and putting in a new garbage disposal. Oh, I mean, it's like, it's doable for like, I'm not a very handy person myself. But I have done it, and boy, that's not fun because you get down under there and you're
that thing all the time. Like this just doesn't make any sense. How it's under the sink is designed. Just doesn't make any sense. You know what else doesn't make any sense?
The House of Representatives?
Donald Trump when he says anything. Right. So apparently yesterday he was in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. The great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Talking about Gettysburg. And here's the thing. I don't like picking on elderly folks who are losing it. I mm-hmm. see it coming. It's come. That train, the headlights have come around the corner. I see it coming. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I've got imaginary things burrowing holes in boxes. I'm right on the edge here. But watching this guy say that Joe Biden is not competent to be president while he stands up and talks is something else. All right, so here we go. We're gonna cut to this, and my God, folks, here we go. He's in Pennsylvania.
I've got no volume, Doug.
You have no audio?
Yeah, no audio.
Oh, what is going on? All right. You have no audio on that? Oh, geez, Louise. All right. Well, anyway, Donald Trump is rattling on about he's trying to talk about Gettysburg. And honestly, he is just saying, uttering complete nonsense. Unbelievable. In some ways, kind of beautiful. And it's just so, he clearly doesn't know what happened at Gettysburg. He now is in deep. He can't get himself out of it. So he's just saying things.
Yep.
And I don't know why you wouldn't be able to hear that. I don't know.
Yeah. So here's what he said, and I can't do a Donald Trump voice, but I'm not much of a voice imitator. What's that word that I'm
impersonator?
Impersonator. Thank you. Donald Trump said, "What an unbelievable! I mean, it was so interesting and so vicious and horrible." and it's so beautiful in so many ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg. Wow. And then he went on to talk about Robert E. Lee.
Battle of Gettysburg. Wow. It's kind of beautiful. It's a cemetery. I've been there. I've walked through it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were there too. And we did the walk. We were walking right through it. It's solemn and sad. And it's a civil war where thousands of people brutalized each other in the United States. This guy's like sense that violence, it can also be like, also kind of beautiful in its own. Like, who knew he was so macabre and just so into violence and death as a kind of way of beauty? He's just a moron. We've been talking about this Joker for all these years, and it's just clear. Rex Tillerson may not have been right about the decisions he made at Exxon. Yeah. May not have been right as the decisions as the Secretary of State, but the man was right about one thing.
Yeah.
He is a friggin' moron.
Yep. Gettysburg. Wow. And again, I'm quoting the former president. Gettysburg. Wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general and they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too late.
That's Trump speaking?
Yes. Yes.
Me boys?
Yes.
Is this a quote? Is this like some Civil War reenactment song?
Did you know that Robert E. Lee was Irish?
Anyway, just going up the hill, boys. No, Robert E. Lee was an insurrectionist who was brutalizing other American citizens so he could keep holding slaves. That's what it was.
Yeah. Never fight uphill, me boys.
The problem wasn't that they were fighting uphill. And I mean, guy's out of favor. Have you noticed that? Like, he used to be a real winner, but then after he loses the Civil War, I'm watching the Apple TV show called Manhunt, which is about the hunt for Lee Harvey Oswald. We already know it earlier. The assassinator of Abraham Lincoln,
John Wilkes Booth.
Thank you, John Wilkes Booth. I was having a Trump moment there. I was like, guy, mustache. Broken ankle, John Wilkes Booth. Again, don't go with three names. I'm just,
seriously.
You're going to end up in infamy. And the fact that like Lincoln was pushing so hard after the completion of the Civil War and the week before he was executed to not be brutalizing that they were still Americans, they were still our brothers, is just still goes down. I think in history is something that we left unsettled.
I did something I don't often do. On Sunday, I went to see a movie by myself. Okay. And I went to see the movie. I went to see the new movie Civil War. And let me tell you, fantastic.
Really?
Brutal, horrific.
Is it about the Civil War?
No, it is. It's set at some point in the future.
Okay.
Nick Offerman plays a fascist president of the United States who has dissolved the FBI and apparently, according to the dialogue, will shoot press members on site in Washington D.C. Mm-hmm. California and Texas have both seceded and have formed a Western Forces alliance and are headed into Washington, D.C. There's also a Florida coalition of southern states that have seceded. But the story is not political. It's not about politics. It traces the journey of a group of reporters, two photographers and two writers, as they drive from New York City to Washington, D.C. And it is fantastic. It is just an amazing film.
All right.
Everybody needs to see it. It's so good.
I might go tonight in your recommendation. So good.
And it's really funny that like you know, on Twitter, which, you know, is where everything happens, right? All the Trump supporters are, you know, all the MAGA folks totally freaking out that, you know, this movie, you know, portrays a Trump-like president. And really all we know about him is he gets compared to Mussolini at one point by one of the reporters. And we find out that he eliminated the FBI and the free press. That's all like, we know about. That is literally all we know about him. There's no, like, this is a non-political movie. That's very political. And just fantastic. But right. They took that to, as like, oh, they're talking about Donald Trump.
Do you take it that way?
You know, I expected going in that, you know, knowing what I know about Nick Offerman and how much I like him, I kind of expected him to be a good guy and that, you know, Texas and the southern states were seceding again. And this was like a civil war, you know, for the preservation of the Union. When in fact, you kind of, again, it doesn't go into the politics of it, but you kind of get the impression that maybe the Western forces are the good guys. But it's really, nice. it's an anti-war movie that shows the brutality that people can inflict on each other and the real danger of what could happen if our country goes down a road that it very well could go down, that what could happen in, you know, small little towns in West Virginia and Pennsylvania and Maryland and Virginia, wow. You know, as you know, wow. Far from the front line. Like just some more, you know, some horrible things taking place. Just really fantastic film. Really okay. Great.
All right. Well, it might be on my docket tonight.
Highly recommended.
Two thumbs.
Two thumbs. You know, speaking of Civil War, did you hear, I'm making a, yeah, I don't have the thing. I don't know
how to make it go off.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Civil War, did you hear the comments of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson today, where he referred to himself as a wartime speaker? No. He referred to himself as a wartime speaker, and he was not talking about the Ukraine. He was not talking about Ukraine. He was not talking about Israel and Iran. He was talking about Democrats and the need to preserve the Republic from Democrats. This guy, because I mean, Mike Johnson really like, and he says like the thing that will preserve the Union. He said today, you know, he views himself as a wartime speaker. It's the most tenuous time in the history of the country, even more than the Civil War period, because Democrats, you know, want to turn the United States into some kind of European socialist utopia.
Because that's happening right now. Are we becoming a European utopia? I mean, there's Democrats in charge of
like, yeah. And utopia. What? That's a good thing, right? Utopia sounds good. You're against utopia. You know, and Mike Johnson is embattled, not just, you know, from Democrats, but from Republicans as well. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion to vacate, has not brought it, you know, has not called for the vote yet, but news broke today as well that a second congressman, Thomas Massie, I think from Mississippi, said that he is going to join Marjorie Taylor Greene in this motion to vacate. And you know, Mike Johnson has a one vote majority in the House, and if he's lost two Republicans,
that's that
means he's going to need those, the enemies on the other side of his war, to keep him as a wartime speaker. This guy,
we're thinking by Yabit's instruction that it could be Kentucky.
Could be Massey's Kentucky. Yeah, yeah. I frankly don't know where Tom Massey's from.
Yeah. But Mississippi would have been a great, Mississippi. All right. Speaker Johnson, how long must we abide with thee, Speaker Johnson? Dude, make hay while you can. Get everything done that you think you're going to want to tell your grandkids you did, because you're on your way out. You're holding a losing hand, and the time is running. It's it's a jailbreak, my friend. And he better get himself together. And then we could be thrown into all kinds of ridiculousness and shenanigans. But you know what people have been asking about in the chats, Rob, is what is going on with the podium gate or lectern?
Oh, big update on lectern gate. And listen, I used to call it podium gate. But I've been converted by the It's a Lectern Twitter account, which is fantastic. So yesterday, here in Arkansas, for folks maybe that don't remember this, here in Arkansas, our governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, in 2023, spent over $19,000 on a lectern, on, you know, that thing you stand behind on. A podium is something you stand on. A lectern is something you stand behind. So spent $19,000 on a lectern that has never been used and has not been seen. There's been a lot of thought that maybe the money wasn't actually spent on a lectern. It was used to fund taking her friends on a trip to France with her. Turns out that that's not the case. The lectern does exist. It is now in possession of the Republican Party of Arkansas, and an audit commissioned by the Republican supermajority in the Arkansas General Assembly has come back with a report that there are at least 7 instances of Sarah Huckabee Sanders' administration, people in her office, breaking the law. Has referred the case to the to a district attorney, to a prosecuting attorney. Apparently, as it turns out, they were not able to determine if $19,000 is a reasonable price for a lectern.
they were going on to like the Blue Book for lecterns, and they're like, you know, you actually range from about $179, you know, to $24,000. So it could have been an upper end lectern. Yeah.
Lecternsrus.com. I'm sure they were on trying to find out
if $19,000 was overpaying for a lectern.
But it, so what they wanted to do is they had funds available for transition funds that were designated by the General Assembly, about $400,000 to be used for computer equipment and maintenance services in the transition. That had to be that money had to be used, I think, by the end of June. So right at the end of June, there's a whole process that you go through for procurement with a purchase order and all of that stuff where everything gets logged and taken care of correctly and blah, blah, blah. And they didn't have time to do all that. So they used a P card, a purchase card, a credit card instead to buy the lectern so that they could use these transition funds.
Sure, as you do.
Now, some question if a lectern qualifies as computer equipment or maintenance services, but, you know, new governor wants new lectern. Lectern was finally delivered. And then was sold to the Republican Party of Arkansas. The Republican Party of Arkansas, quote unquote, when all of this went down, reimbursed the state and took possession of the lectern
for $19,000.
Again, not following proper procedure. There's a procedure for getting rid of equipment that the state owns that you have to go through, and there's
the state can't just decide to sell it to the Republicans.
Yeah. You don't just put like a $19,000 lectern on Facebook Marketplace and like, oh, you know, that Joe Woods, the, chairman of the Arkansas Republican Party is like scrolling Facebook. It's like, oh, look, hey, there's a lectern.
Still that's available? Exactly. He says, is this still available?
That's right.
So here's a bing down the hall from the governor's office. Bing. They're like, yes, it is. What's your best price? So, I mean, honestly, we could create that whole fake string about
so
that?
Fantastic. Okay, so great.
We've got something to do today.
I wish that I had sent you. Sarah Huckabee Sanders tweeted yesterday a video that was set to music from Jay-Z, which, you know, question of whether or not he would be appreciate having his music sampled in this way. And it has all these images of a, and they call it a podium, all these images of podium and this, you know, and then it ends with a little image of the podium and it says, come and take it, which is, you know, the, like the
Second Amendment,
Greg Abbott, you know, like basically flaunting the fact that they have gotten away with this, but we shall see. Lectern gate continues on, and
it's been a while since we've had an update, and we're now into April.
Well, we have waited and waited and waited for this audit to be released. It finally has been released, and you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and people in her administration apparently, you know, have violated Arkansas law in a number of ways by shredding a bill of lading. Some of the receipts were later, you know, were reprinted and handwritten on them to be reimbursed, and you know, well after the fact. So it just comes back. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is not good at this. She's not good. She's not good at being a governor.
Yeah, and apparently she's not good. Good people around her either who can figure out how to spend the money and not get tied up in criminal activities.
But for all of you that were wondering if the lectern exists, yes, the lectern exists. It is at Republican Party of Arkansas headquarters in Little Rock.
Is that an actual photo of it on the screen that we have on the screen there? Is that
I think is that's a photo of one like it. I don't know if that's actually it. That might be the one that I can't remember. Okay. But anyway, it does exist and it has never been used.
She's never stood behind it. It's never had the governor's seal put on it. Incredible. You know, one of the things that conservatives used to say to me and you and people like us religiously was, why do you liberal types, progressive types, make everything so complicated? How come it's not just the straight, you know, way it is, just the Bible or theology? Just like, no, it's just not, everything doesn't have to be complicated. The plain reading of what's happening in the world explains it. They don't say that anymore because now it's all, well, what do they say? What do they mean? What do they think? What do they do? The Supreme Court's up to this in their little nonsense, taking up the case to say, does the actions of Capitol rioters actually constitute obstructing justice or obstructing Congress? If Congress is going to be doing an act on a particular day, and that day you violently attack the Capitol for the purpose of stopping them from certifying the election, which is on the docket for that day by constitutional mandate, and your actions are intended to do that, does that actually, though, constitute obstructing Congress and therefore people can be charged? This is what defense attorneys for many of the January 6th convicted rioters are saying was, no, these actions might, you can't tie it to that. And the Supreme Court is taking this seriously and could rule that in their estimation, the language of what it means to obstruct justice is not met by violent beating of police officers, breaking windows, and threatening members of Congress to the point that they had to delay for numbers of hours, 12 hours or more, the action of Congress. And now we live in a world where they're like, but does that actually constitute?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when people were out of their minds about the phrase, I guess it depends. Should we say it together, everybody? What the definition of is. Why there is a relationship versus was, or actually is and was, enormously different question. By the way, Bill Clinton was asked in a court setting, is there a relationship between you and Monica Lewinsky? And he said, no. And then he's convicted for perjury. And he's like, they didn't ask me, was there one? They asked me, is there currently one? And there was not. We'd broken off the relationship, which maybe is a little funny. Like, you know, maybe he'd have to say, yes, there is, because she was my intern or whatever, whatever, whatever. But yeah, the more specific definition. But now we're just way beyond that. Yeah. Now it's like, what's a lectern? When did we buy it? What does it mean to grab them by the genitals? Is that really what, do any of these words really have, Gettysburg, does it really have a meaning? And now it's,
never fight uphill, me boys. Uphill. So Neil Gorsuch,
obstructing Congress, actually,
Supreme Court Justice,
when they were rioting in the Capitol.
Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, who should not be on the Supreme Court because of Mitch McConnell. It should be Merrick Garland instead. But besides that, apparently in oral arguments today, he listed multiple cases of folks who, quote, obstructed a congressional proceeding without receiving a 20-year sentence. And his examples were sit-ins at a trial during the Kavanaugh protests, the pulling of a fire alarm by Congressman Jamal Bowman, hecklers in the crowd, standing up for the people of Palestine, and mostly peaceful protests by Black Lives Matter protesters. So clearly what they're trying to do is provide some whataboutism and set this up as as some kind of politically motivated thing.
Yeah.
But listen, the sit-ins at the Kavanaugh hearings, Congressman Bowman, who, full disclosure, I know personally and as a friend, pulling a fire alarm, people heckling during protests about Palestine, and people protesting during the Black Lives Matter. None of those were violent attacks on the U.S. Capitol, in which Capitol police were beaten. The commands, the instructions given by uniformed officers were ignored, where people trespassed and violated not just the places, you know, the dais, the chamber where the Senate and the House meets, the chambers where they meet, but also people's offices. I mean, this was it's like saying, like, listen, you know, someone who commits grand theft auto, like, why do they get a bigger punishment than the person who, like, shoplifts a dress out of a store? Like, yeah, they're the same category of crime.
Yeah.
But they are completely different in size and scale and intent. Like, punishments often are based on, like, the totality of what happens, not just, like, the category. Oh, my goodness.
And you know, to the specific point I think they're getting at is, was the intention to obstruct Congress? Were you trying to get Congress to stop something? I think people, I have done protests and been arrested for those protests. It was to raise a moral voice, not to stop Congress from functioning. If someone does a action protest designed to stop Congress from functioning, and that's your intention, and you execute that intention, then you should be. And that's what was going on January 6th. But there are so many people, and maybe it's Gorsuch too, and us, but we did this on Red Hat, Blue Hat with Casey, which is my conversation with a Trump supporter. He's like, January 6th wasn't a particular day. They were just protesting. Like, no, they were there that day because Donald Trump said, come that day, because we have to stop Mike Pence. If he doesn't do it, then you have, like, literally, it was that day.
Can you believe serendipity that protest took place on the very day, the very time that Congress was ratifying the free and fair election of Joe Biden to be president of the United States. I mean, can you believe the coincidence of that?
Crazy.
Oh, serendipitous.
So hopefully the Supreme Court, they have a lot on their docket. That they took this up is concerning.
Yes.
And look, to be fair, the way this whole thing is worded is a little bit arcane. So and the purposes of when it was written might have been different, but this is how law works. So I sure hope that the Supreme Court kind of gets their head around this, because to your average person, if they're like, that doesn't count, then there is no obstructing justice or obstructing Congress in my
yeah, there is no such thing as an insurrection.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't exist.
Hey, one of the things that it took us a little while to get to, but you know, it's because we started with a little bit of Trump and we don't want to be totally, you know, Trump all the time. But yesterday Donnie was in court.
And Sleepy Don.
And Dozy Don was having a hard time keeping his eyes open.
I mean, we've all been there, right?
In the middle church of podcast, services. There's been days I've had,
yeah. You're sitting in class in college, like, oh, man.
I fell asleep, because, Rob, in a premarital counseling session.
Were you being counseled or were you giving the counsel?
Thank you. Great clarification. I was the counselor. They were coming to me as their pastor who was going to marry them, sitting on the couch. I'm sitting on a chair in my family room. They're talking. I fell asleep.
You nodded off.
Yeah. I dozy donned. I just dozy donned right down to my chest. I popped my head up and there was liquid on my lips. And the look on their face was.
Are they still married?
I don't know. I can't even remember who they were, actually. I think I married them. It was bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen, and the descriptions of this, and apparently he did it again today on day two. You know, it's so funny because we've all been there. This, the talk of like the head dropping and then pops back up and the head dropping pops back up.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there.
Totally.
But we're not during a trial.
No,
that could send you to jail and disqualify you officially for being president of the United States because you paid hush money to a porn star. This guy, just hilarious. And it just proves what we've said. Every accusation is a projection.
Yeah.
He's been calling, he calls Joe Biden, sleepy Joe Biden, because he's sleepy Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going dozy Don. You know, because if we're going to go Sleepy Joe, and I just think we go Dozy Don, and he can't, you know, he doesn't have the stamina.
Yeah.
You know,
it's because he's up in the middle of the night, like posting on Truth Social, the junk stock company.
You know, listen, so we could ask apparently, Stormy Daniels if there was a point where he had greater stamina, he could stay away. Oh. And then we could ask others more recently: has he lost a step? Is he a little more dozy?
So a couple of ridiculous things coming out of the trial. You know, a couple other ridiculous things coming out of this trial. Totally. One is apparently he is already being charged with violating the gag order. He's got a partial gag order on this trial. And there's going to be a hearing apparently next Tuesday on whether or not he violated that. And did you hear what the punishment is if he's found guilty of violating the gag order?
They're asking,
it would be a fine of $3,000. Do you think he's going to have to get US? A bond company to, yeah. Think he's going to have to get a bond company to pay that, because he doesn't actually have any money.
From Michael Cohen again, like he did the $100,000 that he had to give to Stormy Daniels after he gave her a gag order.
The other thing is, you know, the judge is requiring him to be in court, which I love.
Yeah, I love it. He has to go to Barron's graduation, and the court was no.
Apparently, he hasn't asked yet. This is apparently, from what I've read, is that this is a bit of a smokescreen. They're saying that the judge denied him the ability to go to Barron's graduation from high school. and Baron would be his tall son, as opposed to the other ones. Apparently, from this is like they're all saying, you know, Trump's lawyers are all saying that he's not allowed to go to Baron's graduation, but that actually, like that, I don't think there's actually been a ruling on that. Like they're just, they just lie about everything.
They just lie about everything.
They just lie and lie and lie.
And by lying, we mean saying stuff that's not true in order to convince people of things that are not accurate.
That's what they're doing.
If you're unclear about the meaning of the word lie.
And this is a personal pet peeve of mine when someone misstates something and they say, oh no, I lied. I'm like, no, you didn't lie. Lying, you misspoke. Lying has intent. And, you know, they're lying about everything. But listen, if this trial was not going on, is there any chance Don would go to Baron's graduation otherwise?
You think he's going to go sit in some soccer field or football field?
You think he falls asleep when they're like jurors are being chosen to decide his fate, whether or not he has to go to prison? It that puts him to sleep. Imagine reading the names. Trump is near the end of the alphabet. You got to get through the A's and the B's and the C's, reading all of those names. Drowsy Don is going to be
the sun beating down on the Florida sun.
And then he's going to be like, "Oh, why didn't I put on sunscreen?" And like the, you know, the whole thing. He's going to be sleep. He's going to be sleeping through Baron's graduation.
I mean, it's just, and this again for 8 years has been the guy we've just had to deal with.
It's unending,
exhausting.
It's every single day. It's amazing. Like, when Donald Trump left office on that glorious day that Joe Biden was inaugurated, and you and I were in DC, we actually saw Donald Trump's helicopter flying over Washington, DC as he headed out of town gloriously. We did a podcast from a hotel room where Yavitz would like to rename Mar-a-Lago. Melatonin. No melatonin needed, apparently. Yeah. Like, I think he needs some Red Bull or something. We did a podcast where I kind of on the spur of the moment put together a list of like the craziest things that happened during the Donald Trump presidential administration during those 4 years. And I think I was, you know, in a very short amount of time, able to write like 35 things that like, because it's just unending, the craziness.
Just the crazy.
And this, you know, from the whole Gettysburg to, you know, never fight uphill me boys to falling asleep. Like it is unending.
I mean, truthfully, he's a man in his late 70s who is not sleeping well and sitting in a courtroom with nothing to do because you don't read and you're just going to doze off. So you shouldn't, if you can't stay awake for it, you shouldn't be running for it. I think that should just be because here's the thing. They're on Biden all the time about this stuff, you know, closing his eyes during a prayer and they act like he's dozy down, like he's dozy down over there. So it's just so, so unbelievable. Hey, speaking of old Joe, he's got his own thing going on. This was an interesting article by Molly Ball, where she makes the argument that Biden worries about the left, but the voters he needs are in the center. President falls behind with independents. They don't see the White House for what it's actually doing. And that's really, really interesting. Like, I know he's got to hold the coalition together, and this just might be a timing issue. You know, it's like building a house. You got to do it in a particular order. So it might be that they're going to really build confidence with the left now, so they get them tucked in and then go after those independents. But I tend to agree with this. I think the more progressive left, people like me and others, are not going to wander off because they just already recognize what the consequences are.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's real typical that in a campaign, you know, there's kind of the trope is that you run to the, if you're a Democrat, you run to the left during the primary and then you run to the center in the general election. That's the way to get elected. You got to win the primary first. So you go to the left and then you come back to the center. And it appears that that is, though, you know, there's not a primary for Joe Biden. Thank you, Dean Phillips and Marianne Williamson. You know, so Joe Biden is trying to secure the, you know, secure the base and then, you know, has plenty of time to move back to the center. Yep. You know, we have asked the question, both Joe Biden and Donald Trump have a problem within their own party. You know, there was the none of the above or the
anyone else guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember in Michigan and other places, there was uncommitted, was a big question mark of, you know, is this 18% of his support of Democratic voters that are voting uncommitted, you know, are they going to come home? Donald Trump on the other side had 30 some percent of Republican voters that were voting for Nikki Haley and not for him. And, you know, the question becomes, you know, are they going to come home? And ultimately, like that question could decide this election.
Yeah.
You know, will Joe Biden be able to get the progressive voters on, and particularly those who are upset with him about a few particular issues, what's happened in Gaza, as well as issues like student loans. And he's made some strides on all of this. Will he be able to get them to come home? Will Republican voters come home to Donald Trump? Mm-hmm. And then the big question, this is one that you and I have talked about as well. What about the Republican voters who voted for Biden in 2020?
Will they do it again? Will
they do it again? Or will they go with RFK Jr. or someone else? And so it's very interesting to see, you know, how all of this is going to play out. But all of the polls are trending in Joe Biden's way, Joe Biden's direction right now.
But you like, need them all, you, as we've said so many times, in those five states.
70,000 people in five states. Yep.
The home of Yabbits and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona. And then home of Yabbits, of course, Georgia. Like, that's it. That's where it matters. Everywhere else does not matter.
I imagine
that he's going to lose some state he shouldn't lose. But look, if he just wraps up, I mean, what used to be called the blue wall, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, Michigan, a Republican can't win. Like that's just true. And that's what needs to happen. But I saw Sununu, you know, the governor of New Hampshire.
Oh, my goodness.
Who was hardcore against Trump, almost a Trumper. Go on to a new show on Sunday with George Stephanopoulos. And say, it shouldn't be shocking to you that a Republican governor is going to support the Republican nominee. And Stephanopoulos was just like, after all the things you said, after he leads an insurrection, does it? Yep, of course. It's just all about team. It's all about team. Like, they are working hard. And I just don't get it, right? Like, what do you think you're doing? Like, you can't have a one-time exception and just be like, look, this guy is just totally disastrous. But this thing about the groupthink and party only, maybe that happens with Democrats as well.
Oh, yeah, maybe blue no matter who.
Yeah, it is, that's not a thing to brag about, it seems to me. You know what else isn't a thing to brag about? Israel.
Oh, my goodness.
Big freak out over the weekend when Iran sent a bunch of drones into Israel, and then they were 90% of them or whatever were destroyed. And then Iran was like, okay, that's it. We're done. Like, this is what they retaliated for some action of Israel that they did against particular assets of Iran. And then the U.S. is like to Israel, hey, and we're done. Like, there's no more. Just knock this off. And it seems like that has settled down. But what hasn't settled down is the fact that Israel now is so conflicted in their own war cabinet about what they should be doing in Gaza that people are going to suffer because Israel can't figure out what it wants to do. It's just so bad. this is so bad. And for all the people that think the United States can just tell Netanyahu and Israel what to do, they can't.
No.
They're not listening. They don't want to listen. It's just terrible. This whole look, international affairs just show all of us on a regular basis. It's an overly complicated world with so many things going on simultaneously. One is rarely ever happy with international decisions, especially international military decisions. There are not good options. Yeah. I think that's the situation here. Now, some administrations make it worse, Trump, and some administrations make it better. I think in a lot of ways, the Biden administration has. Obama, I felt, was a little mixed. I'm not sure they were helping sometimes. Maybe not. But it just continues to be a friggin' mess. And
Yeah.
Well, that's what I got today. What do you got,
Ryan? Yeah, I do want to just say this about the attack that took place on Israel. Mm-hmm. And listen, I am 100% believe that Israel is in the wrong about how they've retaliated against Gaza. And, you know, so this is not necessarily a pro-Israel thing. This is a pro-technology thing. This is a pro-Ronald Reagan thing. Seeing that Iron Dome in use and seeing all of those drones getting blown up and all those missiles being intercepted, and remembering back to like the idea of Star Wars, the Strategic Defense Initiative by Ronald Reagan, and the absurdity of the idea that we're going to shoot a bullet to knock a bullet out of the air, which was the analogy that was used. It's really cool seeing it in action.
Yeah.
It was really something. And frankly, for the innocent Israeli people, I'm really glad that it worked.
I want no country killing anybody in any country. Yeah, that would be exactly for sure better. Let's killing people.
Yes. Until we can get rid of all of these missiles, let's get Iron Domes for every country.
Iron Domes galore.
Like, yeah,
you get an Iron Dome, and you get an Iron Dome.
Chicken in every pot, and an Iron Dome in every country. That's what we're running on.
Fair enough. Hey, thanks everybody. Thanks for being a part of the podcast today. Look at that, we did it in 52 minutes, 53 minutes.
Amazing.
We finish. Thanks for joining us in the afternoon. This seemed to work out all right.
And listen, get on Twitter and look up Sarah Huckabee Sanders and check out her podium video. You won't regret it.
Thanks, Peggy. Thanks, Yabbits, Donna, Jim, Kevin. Kevin. This is a squirrely prepper lifestyle. Thanks to all of you for your constant support, Peggy, and being a part of the chat and all the rest of this. So we really appreciate it. I'm just scrolling through to see if there's anybody else. Danny. We're really glad to have you a part of the podcast. And if you're not already on the Vote Common Good email list, hey. We'd love to have you. So go to vocommongood.com. Done. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you around town. Bye.